Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already April 13th and 14th, depending on when you're listening to this. If you're listening to it on Saturday, April 13th, it's 9:05, and Sunday, April 14th, 7:05. And, of course, hope everybody has done their taxes or filed an extension. Of course, we have the upcoming Boston Marathon as well. For my running friends, the next race in the Capital Area Race Series is actually a Friday night. Next Friday, April 21st at NHTI. It's the NHTI Delta Dental Race. It's a 6 p.m. Friday start, and the funds go to the Jen Kemp Scholarship Fund. So this will be the third race. A couple weekends ago, we had the SEA race. We moved it to Sunday because of that Saturday snowstorm. And the first race of the series was Gilmington. But this radio show gives me an opportunity to provide community education. And with me is former Supreme Court Chief Justice John Broderick, who will be talking with us about changedirection.org. And know the five signs: not feeling like yourself, feeling agitated, are you withdrawn, caring for yourself, and feeling hopeless. And those of you that went to the Northeast Delta Dental Stadium for one of the opening games of the Fisher Cat season, you've now seen that billboard in the back of the stadium, very visible. And of course, you also outside of the stadium on the highway, there's a great billboard, and I know elsewhere as well. So, Justice Broderick, thank you again for taking the time to join me on my radio stints. I do run Delta Dental in my spare time, but radio gives me a great opportunity to educate the listening audience. So thank you for joining me.
Tom, it's great to be on with you. You've been terrific, you personally and Delta Dental, to this campaign. And it's an important campaign, Tom, to educate people about the five most common signs of mental illness. And as you know, we launched this in the State House last May, so it's almost been a year. And since that time, we've been speaking around the state. My assistant told me that when I spoke at Goffstown High School last week, it was the 102nd time I had spoken on this campaign since May, and it was the 31st high school that had invited us to come and speak. So I know it's important because I see it in the eyes and sometimes the tears of those kids.
Absolutely.
Who come up to me and confide their own journeys.
And please tell the listening audience why it's so important that we reach people at a younger age. Something like half of all mental illness is manifested by age 14. So tell us about that and maybe relate it back to the personal experience you had with your son.
Well, my motivating factor, Tom, was initially to take some pain that my family had experienced rather publicly in New Hampshire a decade ago with my oldest son, who is a wonderful person. He really is. I love him dearly. And he's in a very different place now. But he was afflicted with mental illness when he was 13. He didn't know it. We didn't see it. Nobody was looking for it. And it's very common, by the way, those who have mental health, they think it's just them. They don't know it's a health problem. It's not like a broken ankle where everyone knows it's broken. And so, you know, we went through that really difficult time. He's come out the other side of the pipe. He's married. He has a beautiful child. It's been a journey, Tom. I wouldn't wish on anyone, but it came out in a way that I could never have imagined. So when I had a chance to get involved in this campaign, designed, by the way, by a child psychologist, who was on Time Magazine's 100 list, 100 most influential people on the planet, pretty impressive list. She's a lovely person. And she said, John, I want people to know the five most common signs of mental illness, like we all know the signs of a heart attack and stroke. And because we know the latter signs, we call 911. But because mental illness is something we don't generally talk about, nobody's looking and nobody knows what they'd be looking for. And the reason it's important, Tom, is what you alluded to. Half of all mental illness, half, arises by age 14. My son was 13. That's common. two-thirds of all mental health problems arise by age 23. Two-thirds. Last year in the United States, more people died of their own hand. They died by suicide. More people died by suicide last year in America than died in every car accident all across the country. And one of the saddest statistics, Tom, is every 90 minutes, plus or minus, every day, every week, every month, every year, an American veteran, he or she, takes their own life, and they commit suicide. And we need to start talking about it. We need to educate people. We need to change the culture, Tom, so people can talk about mental health problems like we all talk about back problems or even breast cancer or heart disease or diabetes. And every illness, Tom, and your listeners, I think, can relate to this, every physical illness, if not immediately, over time, is accepted, is understood, there's empathy that goes with it. But when the illness is above your neck and you can't x-ray it or see it, too many people, Tom, don't accept it or are afraid to find out about it, and we put it off into the shadows. And there are a lot of people suffering in the shadows, and it doesn't make any sense.
And the website is changedirection.org. And you know, I think our sort of mutual vision is one day that in the same way an employee can come up to a manager and say, you know, next Wednesday I'm getting my meniscus on my knee operated, so I'm going to need to take 2 weeks off. And there's very much a comfortable conversation. The manager understands it. The employee, her or himself, is very free to talk about the meniscus surgery. We want to have that same type of conversation if there's a mental health issue, whether it's he or herself personally or some family member saying, hey, I need to take, you know, a couple weeks off. So not only do we need the flexible work policies to nurture that, but we also have to do, I think, you know, a lot of training, you know, with managers so they're sensitive. And you've heard me tell this story before, but we obviously have the RAC cards on the Know the Five Signs all across our office. And I believe that that's really helped those types of conversations, because obviously all of us know someone, if not ourselves, that has suffered from mental health issues, and we have to have that same conversation. So do you think we're making progress in that direction? Obviously, you have a way to go. I'm a half full type guy. So like when I started in business, people would routinely be, you know, three quarters of the men were smoking in the office, and about half the women were. Now, of course, that's totally forbidden. No one does that. So I do think we make some progress in society. Do you think we're making progress in this area?
I do, Tom, and I'll tell you why I think so. The young people, I've spoken at this point, I've spoken to over 12,000 people in person, and probably half of that number are high school kids and teachers. And I can tell you, this generation of young people, I really admire them, they are the least judgmental generation in the history of the United States. They want to talk about mental health. They've been taught by their parents or their grandparents, I hear it all the time, Tom, that you don't do that, you don't mention it, you hide it, you conceal it. They want to change it, and they will. I want to hasten the change. And so I'll tell you, viewers or listeners, just a very brief story, Tom. This is an eighth-grade girl at a New Hampshire high school who sat through my talk with 400 of her classmates in the high school. She waited for me. She said to me afterwards, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. She said, I'm 13. I'm in the eighth grade. Cute little kid. And she said, I suffer from depression and anxiety. Now, picture, she's telling me, she's never met me, but I've talked to them about mental health. And I said, well, that's not easy, is it? And she said, no, it's not. And I said, well, the good news is there's a lot of help available, and you're very young, and that's very good news for you. Doesn't make it easier at the moment. And you're not alone, by the way. A lot of kids have those issues, some adults. I said, you're getting help? And she said, yes, but I don't think the woman's the right woman. And I said, well, then she's not the right woman. Have you talked to your parents about it? And she said to me, John, the stranger, really, she said, I spoke to my dad. I said, what did he tell you? She said, he told me he doesn't believe in mental illness, and I just had to get over it. And that's what we're up against. And I said to her, well, don't be too tough on your dad, you know. sometimes adults don't understand, but you understand, don't you? And she said, I do. Depression is not easy. And I said, and it's not hopeless. So go see a teacher today. Do you have someone you like? And she said, I do, but what would I say to them? I said, this is what you're going to say to them. A crazy judge came to our school today and told us it was okay to have a mental health problem. We need to go to somebody. And so you tell her, I ordered you to go. And she laughed. She said, can I actually say that? I said, sure, absolutely, you can. Just promise me you're going to see that teacher today, and maybe she'll call your parents in, and you can have a broader discussion. That child, Tom, while she's unique, she's not unique in the big picture sense, because there are a lot of kids just like her who were told that they don't have a problem or they should keep it quiet. We'll never change the culture sufficiently to get help for people who need it, and there is plenty of help available.
So it can be a generational thing, and I know that, as you've said in one of your talks, I mean, you grew up in a car without seatbelts. You lived in a house with an ashtray. I mentioned when I started working professionally in 1978, you know, everybody in the office literally was smoking. So I think, if the younger generation can teach the older generation that, illness is also about the above the neck health. And of course, oral health is the same thing. You know, we're always trying to connect the mouth and the head to the body, and that's really what this is all about.
It really is, Tom. And, you know, for years, not now, and largely because of people like you, people never associate oral health with good physical health. They do now. It took a while. They see the value now. And we need to expedite it. We need to help to change it. There was a time, and your listeners will remember, when the AIDS epidemic broke out, and people were dying, and nobody knew what it was, and everyone was scared to death. And if anyone had AIDS, they were basically quarantined. And then Magic Johnson of the Lakers said, I have HIV. And suddenly it was not only said that I have HIV, we need to find treatment or a cure, because we love Magic Johnson. People aren't dying like that anymore, and Magic Johnson just became president of the Los Angeles Lakers a few months ago. He's doing fine. We need a Magic Johnson moment, Tom, in mental illness.
Well, I think John Broderick is the Magic Johnson for ChangeDirection.org. So you can stay on after break, correct?
I can, Tom. Happy to do it.
Absolutely. So we'll return after commercial break with former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Broderick, who now leads the initiative called ChangeDirection.org. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio and also the head coach of Northeast Delta Dental. And here we are, the 13th and 14th. And as I mentioned prior to the break, we have a road race coming up on Friday, April 21st, NHTI Northeast Delta Dental at 6 o'clock, at the NHTI campus. Big shout out to all my running friends who participated in the SEA. We're really making a difference. Each one of the 8 races in the Capital Era Race Series raises funds for a great cause. But with me this weekend is John Broderick, who's heading up the initiative called ChangeDirection.org. And both John and I have this vision that a couple of things, that we can talk about mental health and mental concerns at the same level of comfort as you would knee surgery. And also, knowing the 5 signs, you've seen these billboards, they're on the highways, they're at the Northeast Delta Dental Stadium. We have these rack cards everywhere around our office, and it's really going to take a collected effort, because John and I will be the first ones to say, we can go out there, we can, you know, do these talks, but it has to happen organically, John, wouldn't you say?
It does, Tom. It absolutely does. But I can tell you this, and you know it, because you've been such an ally in this. If I go to almost any room and speak, it doesn't matter whether it's a chamber breakfast, a chamber dinner, a leadership New Hampshire meeting, which we were invited to attend, it doesn't matter. People respond to it. Because every other illness, Tom, in our lifetime and today, while we say it's not okay, for example, to have heart disease, we also say, but it's okay to have heart disease. It's not okay to have diabetes, but it's okay to have diabetes. When it comes to mental health, we have told people it's not okay to have a mental health problem, and then we stop. And what I've been finding when I go out and talk, I'm really saying to these folks, a lot of them kids, but not all kids, it's not okay to have a mental health problem, but it's okay to have a mental health problem. And the stories on that people will confide in you that they wouldn't confide in a kid next to them in their classroom or the teacher in front of the classroom. But because they know after I've spoken about my own family's journey and my own ignorance and my son's lack of awareness of his own mental health issues, they know I'm safe. They know I'm not going to judge them, and they want to tell somebody. And I have adults, Tom, who come up to me, parents of kids, and sometimes they have tears in their eyes, the parents. And they'll say, I've suffered depression for 25 years. I really can't tell anyone about it. I lose my job, my friends. Some kids, Tom, come up to me. I mean, this is not about me. It's about this campaign. They don't know me. So after I've spoken in some of these high schools, kids will come up, often with wet eyes, and some of them say this, can I give you a hug? Or can you give me a hug? Can you imagine?
Wow.
Because they want to say what I'm saying. They want to hear what I'm saying. And so that I don't sound too righteous about it, Tom, if my family story had been below the radar and unknown, I likely wouldn't be on the radio with you today. I wouldn't be in this campaign. I'd be doing what I was taught, which is you don't talk about it and you don't discuss it, which is still sadly for people over 35 or 40. That's still kind of what we do. But because keeping quiet doesn't help, and because my son said, Dad, I'm really proud you're out doing this, everybody with a mental health problem, Tom, everybody, however serious or benign, they didn't ask for it, and they don't deserve it. And that's true. And it's like no different than breast cancer. They didn't ask for it or deserve it either, but we don't tell them it's not okay and not to tell us. Last story I want to share with your listeners, which will give you a real-world sense of the shame. I spoke last week at St. Anselm College, and there was a woman in the audience, and when I finished, she raised her hand, and she said, I don't have a question, but I just want to make a statement. She said, I suffered from breast cancer a few years ago, and it's in remission, and I'm doing much better. But she said, for the last 2 years, up until about a month ago, I was in serious depression. And when I was in serious depression, no one talked to me about it. No one offered to do anything for me or even wanted to talk with me. When I had breast cancer, everyone who knew I had breast cancer wanted to make a dinner, wanted to do what they could for me. She said, I would rather have breast cancer than depression, because no shame, Tom, in breast cancer.
Well, it's like I was saying earlier, we have to be able to be comfortable talking about mental health the same way we talk about breast cancer. We have this huge walk in Concord, one of the largest of the breast cancer walks in the country, and you see a sea of pink. And similarly, this sort of orangey color of the five signs, which again are not feeling like yourself, feeling agitated, withdrawn, not caring for yourself and feeling hopeless, that we have one of those marches seeing the sort of the sea of orange and having that same degree of comfort talking about a mental health issue as you are with prostate cancer, you know, breast cancer, you know, or meniscus surgery. So you've certainly done your part. 102 speeches. You've also kind of branched off in Maine. I wanted to share with the listening audience, one of my great employees in Maine, a woman by the name of Marie Bridges, there's an equivalent program in Maine similar to Leadership New Hampshire. And her project was on mental health awareness. So we connected John and Marie, and it ended up being the hallmark project for that group, because not only did the group use the RAC cards, which demonstrate the five signs, but they've made speeches, and they're at the graduation, which was just two Fridays ago. Their talk became, in effect, the graduation talk. So you're spreading everywhere, John. Not only 102 talks in New Hampshire, but also in Maine now.
Well, I'll tell you something. I just want to give a couple of shout-outs, Tom, if I can.
Sure.
What is the Delta Dental, and to you personally, when I came to ask for money from you, I mean, it was the fastest yes I'd ever received. And I've been in positions in the past where I had to raise money. Delta Dental's been a leader, and the reason that billboard's up at Delta Dental Stadium is you and Art Solomon of the Fisher Channel, so I'm grateful for that. There's a billboard on Elm Street, Manchester, on a rooftop, in the building owned by Dick Anagnost, who said to me, I'll give you my billboard for free. I said, are you serious? He said, absolutely. I think it's important. Catholic Medical Center, Concord Hospital, Dartmouth Hitchcock, Elliott Hospital, Riverbend Community Mental Health, Governor Craig Benson, when I called him, said, John, I'll send you what you need. I said, I need $15,000 to hit my goal. He said, I'll drop it in the mail to you. And he did. People have been generous with their time and with their resources. And I can say, Tom, that if everyone just took the time to learn these signs, if they want a rat card, they can go to our website. We'll get them one. I'll mail them one. If they put the rat card on their refrigerator, learn the five signs, have a little emoticon faces with a little bit of text describing the mood represented, talk to their children or their spouses or their brothers and sisters or their friends. And then when they saw those signs, they were not too bashful to go up and say, are you okay? I've noticed this or that. Are you doing all right? Can I help you? Those simple actions, Tom, will start to change the culture. This campaign is about knowledge and connecting. It's not about policy or politics. There's none of that in this campaign. And the reason I can tell you that with certitude, I wouldn't have been invited to speak to all the places I've been invited to speak if I thought this was some political crusade. It's not. It's a public health crusade. And it's a public health awareness campaign. This campaign will cost the listeners nothing, but it could change lives.
And I know, like, when you spoke at the BAA forum that that I participated in as well. I mean, when you reach out to the audience and we say, well, how many people have been affected either directly or indirectly with mental illness? I mean, everybody raises their hand. So it's both sides of the aisle. It's regardless of where you are in the economic world, it's there. And it's really all of us. It's really all up to all of us, you know, to make this happen. Tell us, I know you've mentioned the story of a sunapee, but I know you've already had situations where you can already know that because of the Know the Five Signs rack card or a poster or a billboard, it's already made a difference.
There's a story time of a young boy, a freshman, at a Catholic high school in New Hampshire. And I spoke to the teachers 2 days before school started, thanks to their principal and the Catholic bishop. And frankly, the Catholic bishop and the Episcopal bishop, Tom, have been fabulous on this campaign. They wrote letters to all of the priests and ministers. But I was at this Catholic school, and the teacher took one of these rock cards. Cost 4 cents, Tom. She put it on the classroom door, and she said, on the second day of school this past year, a freshman boy waited for everyone to leave the classroom because he had learned that lesson from all the adults in his life. And he went up to her, and he said, I saw those five signs on your door. Does that mean that this school's going to be more empathetic about mental health and kids who might have it? And she said, oh, absolutely. I think we need to. It's nobody's fault, by the way, she said, but there's so much that can be done, but we need to start talking about it. And he said to her, well, that's great because I have a mental health problem and I take medication, but there are still some circumstances that will upset me. His second day in high school. So he said to this teacher who he didn't know, would you be willing to come with me and we can explain this to my other teachers? And she said, sure. That 4 cent card changed his day, Tom. And it might have changed his high school experience, but it certainly was a good beginning. And I do not think that he would have had the courage to disclose to a stranger who was his teacher a mental health issue which he'd been hiding from everyone. Kids say to me all the time in high school, Tom, when I say your friends supported, they say, I can't tell my friends. I wouldn't have any friends. It's 2017, Tom.
So those are so compelling, and of course we have similar stories in our, as an employer, we have those rack cards everywhere, and we could share those stories. So it's we're gonna change the world one rack card at a time. Yeah. And seriously, it's changedirection.org. I do want to say anecdotally that John is correct. Dr. Silvio Dupuy held the old record for getting a donation from me, which was 35 seconds, but when John approached me with Dr. Gunn, who is the director of primary care behavioral health at Concord Hospital, it did only take 10 seconds. So CEOs that are out there looking for an initiative to get behind, please consider changedirection.org. And we're so honored, John, that you continue to do your great work in New Hampshire. So thank you for all you do. And we just touched the surface. You mentioned the veterans. We'll probably have to make that a separate show, but obviously there's a real concern there, and Veterans Counts, I know, is very concerned about the suicide rate as well. So thank you, Justice Broderick, for joining us today.
Well, I want to thank, before I get off, I want to thank Bill Gunn, who's the Director of Behavioral Health at Concord Hospital, and Peter Evers, who's the CEO of Riverbend. The three of us co-chair it. They're the experts. I just understand the journey. But they have been extraordinary in this campaign. I'm grateful to them.
And thank you for your leadership, Justice Broderick. All right, changedirection.org.